for the next 4 weeks. We're going to be going into that. So hallelujah. Well, are you ready for the word of the Lord this morning? Praise God. Let's go in the spirit a little bit. Let's just pray in the spirit a little bit. Kira baraka shida barakaya brotoro madako sidi babarakara de mabaraka una embabaka bahate emahasara bro ono o mahasaneka. Yera ayane emabarakodo kida manaka sadne de kodo do konenekare de uruko de yine mabaraka de be noruko de nekode de kodo do kode baraka. Do not be deceived by what your natural eyes are seeing. Do not be deceived by what your natural ears are hearing. For the world doesn't have sight, neither does it have hearing. For all it knows is what it sees in its own self. But you need to lift up your eyes. You need to open your ears to the heavens. For I am moving, declares God, and I am doing things the way that I want them to be done. And you're going to see things begin to work out, and you're going to see things come to the surface, and you're going to see a lot of things that man has tried to hide and conceal for years that are being brought out into the light. And only those who are courageous will endure. Only those who stand on my side, declares God, only those will be able to see clearly and understand what is going on. For the world is already in confusion, but their confusion shall increase and increase and increase to where they will fall apart by their own weight. For by their own acclamations, their own proclamations, they will reveal their heart and they will be revealed and it will be their downfall, declares God. For the world will not survive because I am pouring out my glory, and the world will succumb to me, and they will declare that Jesus is Lord, and they will lift him up and bow their knee to Jesus, because I am the only thing that is going to remain standing when all this is through. So trust in me. Don't listen to the things going on around. Don't even listen to the news that you hear, because I am moving beyond the news and I am doing things in secret that are about ready to come on out in the open, and they will shock and stun many people, but they won't surprise my people, for I've already told you these things. And you'll sit back and say, I knew it, I knew it, I knew it. For I have declared it, declares God, and what I have declared shall come to pass because of my name. For I am orchestrating the events of this day, declares the God, the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, God. Glory, 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 glory to God. We're starting our Christmas series today, and God is, he's been leading me on some different ways of looking at things lately. So today I want to look at the prophetic birth of Jesus Christ. And it's interesting that the word came today dealing with the prophetic word and talking about that, because this is what the whole message is about. I mean, God knows that. You know, I didn't know he was going to speak, but, you know, he knows these things. But I'm telling you, we need to see Jesus for who he is and for what God is doing in the earth today. So let's start out with 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. This is our favorite Bible verse of all time, I think. It's been years anyway that we've been quoting it, but say it with me. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. And I'll tell you, his knowledge is the person of Jesus Christ. It's the knowledge of who Jesus is that we're celebrating in this season. Amen. And so God, this knowledge, we have to say, well, what knowledge, what knowledge? What? It's the knowledge of Jesus. And if you know Jesus, I'll tell you, you're in good standing. Amen. You are in good standing if you know Jesus. Now, we're starting out on the prophetic birth out of Micah chapter 5, verse 2. And we're going to start here, and we're going to come back toward the end. We're going to come back to this scripture, so mark it if you find it in your Bibles. It says, but you, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. You know, we look at this verse, and we know when the wise men came into Jerusalem, they asked, you know, we're searching for the Christ. You know, King Herod had to search and send his scholars to the Bibles and find out, you know, what the heck are they talking about? And they found this verse. And so they said that the prophets have told us that Jesus, the Messiah, is going to be born in Bethlehem. Well, that's good, because prophecy, now I want to say this succinctly, prophecy told us where Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, was to be born. Prophecy. This was foretold. Now, Micah is prophesying this 100 years before Israel was carried into Babylon. At least 100 years. So he's prophesying in difficult times. And prophecy has always been important to the Jewish people. It has always been important to the people of God, because prophecy shows us the future or the future possibility. Prophecy shows you what is coming or what can come if we are obedient to the Word of God. Amen. Prophecy shows us the future. It's always been important. And prophecy, now understand this, prophecy gives a hope for faith to hold on to. Prophecy gives our faith something to hold on to. Now, this is especially important in our day, in our time, because the prophets have been declaring a lot of things happening in the last 4 years, and a lot of things happening even about 12 years ago, and even some 20 years ago. The prophets have been speaking to us very prophetically in new voices, in fresh voices today, not just out of the Bible, but in prophetic voices today. God has been speaking to us, and he's been doing it so you have something to hold on to. Because 20 years ago, a lot of Christians wanted to quit. They wanted to give up. We saw no hope. We saw no future. And in the midst of that, God began to prophesy, began to release things, unleash things into our future, so we can have something to hold on to. Amen? Now, let me go to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1, 2, and 3. It says, now, say now with me, because this is so crucial to understand this. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, this is, he's talking about prophecy here in part, not totally, but he's talking about in prophecy. But verse 2 says, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. For by faith we understand that the worlds were framed. I want you to get that word. The worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Now, the world was framed by the word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is the Word of Jesus. This is the Word of the Savior. This is the Word of the Messiah. That Word framed everything that we see. By prophecy, by foretelling, God is framing our world. In Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and God said... And God said, he's prophesying, he's speaking forth. God is speaking things into existence. That's prophecy. That's not just, oh, I'd like to see a tree grow in Brooklyn. No, it's God is prophesying these things. So, and we saw, now, somebody said that creation was easier for God than to get us born again, because there was no resistance when he created heavens and earth. You know, the devil turned to be the devil in the garden. And so it's like, okay, God had no resistance, so he spoke, and it just happened immediately, because there was no obstacle to overcome. But God created, God framed the heavens and the earth by his words. Prophecy is God speaking into this natural world, framing our future. Now, I want to add something to that that is really significant, because I heard Charles Capps preaching last night. He's with the Lord. This was a rerun. But I heard him speaking last night, and he said this, prophecy is God's trumpet. Prophecy is God's trumpet. And so when God is prophesying, he's blowing his trumpet over the earth. And the sound that comes forth is the spirit of prophecy. It is that sound that comes out and resonates in all of the earth. Now, why do people hate prophecy so much? I'll take a little sidebar here. Why do people hate prophecy so much? Because it's God trying to intervene in the earth. It's God speaking the things that can be or will be in the earth. And today we have resistance. No, 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 don't let that happen. Why? Because we've got the devil and we've got people that resist the devil. They don't want to see God's word come to pass. They don't want to see the glory of God poured out on the earth. They don't want to see people healed. They don't want to see people at liberty. They don't want to see people set free, because if they're set free, then our obligation is to the one who set us free, and that is God, not people. And the systems of this world lose control because every one of them says, "We will make you free." I'll tell you, freedom comes from God. Our Constitution, our Declaration of Independence, said that government was instituted to protect the rights that God gave to people. That is the goal of government. Government doesn't give you rights. A godly government should protect the rights that are given to you by Almighty God. But most governments are saying, "We'll let you do this. We'll let you do this other thing," because you've got to understand that we are the ones who give you the rights and the privileges. That's the way of the world. Because think about it. President Obama was asked one time how high taxes ought to go. And they said, "Do you think people ought to pay 50% of their income in taxes?" He says, I would not object to that. So, well, what about 60%? I could go with that. What about 80%? I think that'd be fine. And they got up to 100%, and he agreed with it, that people should pay 100% of their income in taxes. Now think about that. What's the understanding behind that? The understanding is this: you work for me, and I'll let you keep what I think you need. This is the government's attitude of freedom. This is common throughout the world. It's common throughout the history of man. The government owns you. An old-fashioned word for it would be slavery. And they will choose and decide how much of your money that you earn, that you produce, that you can keep. It's an early form of socialism, communism. But see, God says, "I give you liberty. I give you life. I give you liberty. I give you the pursuit of happiness," which is an old-fashioned way of saying wealth. God's not against those things. He wants you to have it. And so we understand in our Declaration of Independence, and one of the things that has framed our nation is that the government exists for the sole purpose of protecting your life, your liberty, and your wealth. And that's being challenged today. Why? Because, listen, the Declaration of Independence was prophetic. Because there were things that didn't get resolved just because we passed it. The Bible was prophetic. You know, I can pass out a Bible to every person in the city of Kaiser. Every person could have it. Would they be set free? No. Only if they read it and believed it and acted on it. Because if you don't know the freedoms that you have, you'll never exercise them, because you don't know that you can. Amen? So God created the heavens and the earth by his words. Prophecy is God speaking into the natural world, framing our future. And prophecy is God's trumpet that's being blown over the world, that is providing his voice around the world. And listen, our faith is the acceptance of God's will in the earth. Your faith, whether you recognize it or not, is based upon what you hear of prophecy. Because when 2 Peter, I think it's 2:4, says that by his stripes you were healed, that's prophecy. Because that was before us, wasn't it? That was written, about 2,000 years ago? That was written before us. So for you, that's prophetic. It works if you believe the prophecy. If you believe the trumpet that God sounded, it will work for you. Woo! Hallelujah! I can get happy over this. If I will receive what God has trumpeted over the earth, I can receive it. It can work in my life. But if I don't respond to it, then I don't have faith, I don't have confidence, and guess what? It won't work for me. Now, let me put this in some perspective. The first prophecy that God used to frame the world of actual prophecy is in Genesis 3:15. It says, "And I will put enmity," that's strife, bitterness, "between you and the woman," between the devil and the woman, "and between your seed and her seed," which is singular. He, talking about this God's seed, the woman's seed, "he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel." In other words, this seed of the woman, which we know is the Christ, the Messiah, he's going to destroy the devil because he's going to thump him on his head. He's going to kill him. You hit a snake on the head, he dies. Amen? You got to get the head. If you smack at the tail, he'll live. There's even some critters you can cut the tail off and it'll grow back. Earthworms are unique. You can cut them in half. You didn't kill it, now you got two. And I'll tell you what the devil does is he has us chasing tails, and we're trying to stomp on the tail, and his head is safe and secure because we know we don't go after the head. And right now, God's going after the head. That's why it seems so messy and so confused, because God's going after the head. Everything is going to be put under his feet. Amen. Hallelujah. So this is the first prophecy. Well, this prophecy is framing the world for a Messiah, for a Savior. Let's go to Deuteronomy 18:15. "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren, him you shall hear." This is Moses. And the people are saying, "Moses, you're kind of, one of these days we know you're going to die. Moses, one of these days we know you're going to disappear. And what do we do then?" And this is what Moses said. "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me." A prophet that knows God. A prophet that's intimate with God. A prophet that hears God and sees God. A prophet who will deliver the people out of bondage and sin. This is the Messiah. He's prophesying Jesus. He's prophesying the Christ who has come to save the world. Amen? Let's go to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Again, Isaiah, now, there's hundreds of these. I'm just giving you a few. But Isaiah 7, 14 says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." Woo, the virgin birth. I was just reading an article this week. These articles tick me off. They really get to me. And this article said, you know, the word virgin there doesn't mean a woman without child. The word virgin there means a young lady. Yes, they're correct. However, in the Bible, it's always used of a young lady who has not born children and has not had intercourse with a man. It's always used that way. It's always used that way. But what it means is, yes, it means a young woman, but it means a young woman who has not known a man. Guess what? A virgin. Isn't it hard to understand the Bible? You know, we try to make it say something it doesn't say, and then when it says something so clear and so plain, we try to misinterpret it. Because we're trying, listen, we, instead of letting God frame the world, we are trying to frame what God is allowed to do. This is the work of the enemy. Because so many Christians are trying to bring their understanding of Scripture to God, and they're trying to frame God. Oh, man. They're trying to limit what God can do. They're trying to frame what God's limits are instead of letting God frame their thinking about the world. Isaiah 9:6 goes on to say, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Unto us a child is given. Unto us a son, or a child is born, a son is given. See, again, this is talking about this Messiah, this Christ, is going to be a son. It's going to be a boy. The Messiah. He says, the government of God will be upon his shoulder. He said, this is going to come from the Father. Now, Isaiah has already prophesied as a virgin. that's going to give birth. But here he even adds to it, this is going to be God. This is not just a man who's great, a man like Moses. This is going to exceed Moses because this is going to be the Son of God in the earth. See, can you see that God is prophesying? He's framing the world. He's blowing the trumpet over mankind, over the nation of Jerusalem, of Israel. He's blowing the trumpet over believers, Christians in this earth. He's blowing the trumpet. Will we hear the sound? Will we hear what God is prophesying? See, all of these prophecies frame the world with a hope that cannot be seen. We'll go back to Hebrews 11. But they're framing, these words of God frame a world with a hope that cannot be seen. Our faith in God's prophecy is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. This is his prophecy. You can't see this. Isaiah couldn't see this. Micah couldn't see this in the natural, but in the supernatural, they began to see these things, and they spoke out from the Spirit of God what they saw. Prophecy is to show forth the mind of Yahweh. I say that because it's not just this whatever you think is God is, but the Spirit of Yahweh, the Almighty God, the Creator God. Our faith is our good testimony because we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. See, let's go back to Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so the things which are seen were not made of things that were visible. See, our good testimony is our faith that we believe the trumpet of God, that we believe the prophecy that God has already spoken of. That's our good faith. See, that's why the world looks at you and says, you guys are weird. Because you, first of all, you believe in God. You believe in a book that was inspired by him. And then you believe what he wrote in the book. Yeah, you're getting close. But we believe in the person, Jesus Christ, whom the book is revealing to us. That's what really is our good testimony. This is what separates us from the world and from other nominal Christians who attend church, but they've never been born again. People who say they believe in God, but they don't really know anything about God because they're ignoring the Word of God. See, today's prophecies, what's going on right now in before our eyes that we can see even in the prophecies that are coming out today in the natural world cannot be ignored because these prophecies are framing our world. They are predicting our future. We either accept or reject it or deny it. So what do you do with the prophecies today? Oh, yeah, God spoke again in church. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We just go on. What do you do with the prophecies? What do you do with Kim Clement that prophesied? He's a weirdo. I mean, I'm still not a big Kim Clement follower. It's like he's just very different. He's with the Lord now. But I'm telling you, some of the things he spoke 20 years ago, we're watching come to pass. You know, his style may be weird, but he was accurate. Now think about some of the biblical prophets. They were weird. How'd you like to lay naked on your side for some time? And then when you think it's about done, God says, now flip over to the other side. Oh my, I thought this was over. That's weird. Are you going to listen to him? We do today. Why? Because he was right. He was a trumpet used of God, but he didn't come in the manner that everybody was accepting of him. Dave DeMola told us years ago, he had a church out on the East Coast, and he told us years ago, I mean, when we would go there for conferences, their music would be so loud, you'd have to put earmuffs on. I mean, it was just so loud. And we asked, why is the music so loud? He says, because on the East Coast, he says, if you're not loud, nobody even notices you. Now think about that. If the prophets of God are just like everybody else, you would never even notice them. How do you notice a trumpet in a band? Because they're louder than anything else. They draw your attention. You say, well, that trumpet player was weird. Yeah, Phil Driscoll's weird. He's a trumpet player. He's weird. He's anointed. He's gifted. But he's weird. I mean, the way he plays the trumpet and then prophesies and plays the trumpet and preaches. And he's different, but he's right. They tried to lock him up a few years ago. And did you know President Trump gave him a full pardon? Was going to, maybe he doesn't have it yet, but he was talking about giving Phil Driscoll a full pardon for something he didn't do. His mother said, I'm the one that made the mistake. It was an honest mistake. Okay, we understand. You did it. We're going to send him to jail. What? Why? Because he was a prophet, a trumpet of God, and they were trying to shut him up. Sole reason. So let's go on. When Israel came to the promised land, see, you either accept it or deny it. You can either one can be a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you deny it, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy because you say, well, that'll never happen. Well, it won't happen for you because you denied it. If you accept it, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. It'll work for you. Why? Because you accepted it. Is that clear? See, when Israel came, here's an example. When Israel came to the promised land, 10 spies rejected the prophecy of taking the promised land. God had told him, prophesied, you're going to take it. I've given the land to you. 10 of them came back and denied it, said, we can't take this. Only 2 believed the prophecy. And it was the 2, not the 10, that entered into the land of promise. Only 2 of them made it. Self-fulfilling prophecy. We can take it. Okay, it's yours. Even Caleb, if you have to be 80 years old to go in, it'll be yours. And at 80 years of age, Caleb came to Joshua after they had fought some battles and won some territory, and they were kind of getting settled. And Caleb, I don't know how long after, but Caleb, 80 years old when they entered the promised land, he came to Joshua and says, I'm ready to take my mountain. Release me to take it. And he said, it's yours. And he went out at 80 and led his people, and they took the mountain, took what God had given to them. Amen. So 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 says, and so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Now, I just want to say this. We have the prophetic word. He said, we have seen Jesus, who is the fulfillment of the prophetic word of God. We have seen it. The prophetic word confirmed. See, we've seen the prophecy come to pass. We know how real that prophetic word was because we were with Christ and we saw the miracles and we were there at the death and we were there at the resurrection and we were there at the ascension. We saw the prophetic word of God confirmed. And you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place. So you better pay attention to prophecy. You better pay attention to these things because when God confirms it, you're going to either have egg on your face or you're going to say, I knew it. One or the other. He says, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. In other words, genuine prophecy does not come out of the ideals or the dreams or the visions or the goals of a man. Verse 21, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. This is prophecy. This is prophecy. Listen, prophecy is a light shining in the dark places. That's what it is. Prophecy, when everything's going well, God doesn't prophesy, everything's going to go well. You know, everybody say, well, that's easy to figure out. But a prophet is one who speaks in the darkness. God is on the move. And now you either have to accept that God is moving or accept the darkness. One or the other. You have to believe the word of God this in the midst of the darkness, because it will bring light to the darkness. This is what prophecy is about. Giving you a hope, a vision, the evidence of things not seen, the proof of those things, that the substance of the things that cannot be known. It's like, this is what prophecy is. This is what the word of God is. Now, go with me to John chapter 1, verse 5. John chapter 1, verse 5. He says, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it or overwhelm it or overpower it. Where does the light shine? In the darkness. When do you need a prophecy? When everything's going downhill. You know, they have this mirror on TV now, you know, where you can exercise and watch yourself exercise. And if you watch the commercials, the person's kind of wearing out. You go on. You got this, babe. You got it. You go on. That's prophecy. Because you don't feel like going on anymore. That's prophetic. The world uses it all the time to motivate you, to let you know and encourage you. You can do this. But when God does it, well, I don't know if that's God. The world does it all the time. Listen, the problem with the news media is they're busy prophesying to you. They're not giving you news. They're trying to prophesy the future to you so you will accept it. And once you accept it, you will not fight it anymore. And the devil's trying to prophesy to you that God is dead, that God is not alive, that God won't heal, God won't deliver, God won't come through for you. That's the darkness. That's why you need to hold on to the light of the prophecy of God. This light, it says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it, did not comprehend it, could not understand it, could not grasp it. Why? The light shining in the darkness. And where the light shines, darkness goes away. Darkness dissipates. You know how to get rid of the dark? Turn on the light. But you've got to turn on the light. You've got to turn on the word of God. In other words, you've got to believe the word of God above the darkness that surrounds us. John chapter 1, verse 9. It says, that was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. This prophecy is the true light. This word of God. Go back to John 1, 1. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. This is the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. It's the word of God. It's God prophesying over the world, framing the world by the words that he speaks. Can you see this? Because it's really important you begin to grasp this. In Revelation 19:10, it says, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Think about this, the testimony of Jesus. When you give your testimony of what God has done in your life, that's the spirit of prophecy to somebody else that doesn't understand God. Some of the greatest moments I've had was when people are talking to me, and I say, I've gone through the same thing. I tell you what, God turned my life around. They go, he what? He changed my life. And they start, see, you're prophesying. If God can turn your life around, he can turn their life around. If God drew you out of many waters, he can draw them out of many waters. You're prophesying. The testimony of Jesus of what God has done in your life is a prophecy. You've entered into the fullness of it, the reality of that, but they haven't yet. So you are prophesying to them about what God is able to do in their life. Debbie's been talking in Sunday school about imagination. And with the COVID epidemic going on, I'll tell you, your imagination is your prophecy. It prophesies whether you're going to live or die. We talked to someone the other day, and they said they've got a friend that's 50, in their mid-50s, and they said they're so afraid of getting COVID because they know if they get COVID, they're going to die. And I'm thinking, why would you think that? They're prophesying. They're framing their world by their imagination, and their imagination is of something that hasn't happened yet. It worries me, because someone ought to be covering them in prayer so they don't get COVID, because if you trust the words of their own mouth, if they get COVID, they're going to die, because they've already prophesied. They're framing their world. See, that's why we say, by his stripes, we were healed. Yeah. Were, past tense. Yeah. I'm walking in health and victory. Hallelujah. You are walking in health and victory in the name of Jesus Christ. You are COVID free, and if any COVID touches you, it dies. And you can go in for a test, and they'll say, you've already got antibodies. You've already got the resistance to it. I know, because I took the name of Jesus. And I took authority over this thing. And that stuff, see, you've got to declare, it's not coming on me or my household. You've got to frame your world with the prophecy of God and the word of God. Amen? See, Micah prophesied in hard times. Babylon was at the door. And this was 100 years before Babylon took him into captivity. But he is prophesying, Babylon is coming. Babylon's going to take you away. He's going to do all these things to you. And in the midst of that, Micah prophesied about the birth of a child, the Messiah, the one to be ruler of Israel. Now think about that. Here you are. The prophecy is you're going to all be taken into captivity. You're going to be carried away into a foreign country. And Micah stands up and prophesies about this child that's going to be born in Bethlehem. He is the one to be ruler in Israel. If you read the whole prophecy, he's going to bring you back. He's going to bring you out. And everybody goes, huh? But we just had this other prophecy. Does that mean the other prophecy is not true? No, it's still true. But God's telling you, I haven't quit on you. I haven't given up on you. It's not over yet. This isn't the end of it. So you take one negative prophecy, well, that's it. Well, for every one, I can give you 100 positive prophecies. Which one are you going to believe? But this bad one, what? Listen, the Bible says we're all going to die in our sin. Is that the prophecy you want as a believer? It says if we don't receive Jesus, if you're not born again, you'll die in your sin. But see, I'm not in my sin. I've been forgiven. I've been cleansed. I'm going to believe the prophecy of the new birth. I'm going to believe in the prophecy of my Messiah who has delivered me from sin and corruption. I get to choose which prophecy frames my world. I'm going to choose one that's good. Amen. Amen. Where are we? Let's go to Micah 5:2. He says, but you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, you are yet out of you shall come forth to me, the one to be ruler in Israel. Now get this, because he's talking about the one to be ruler. That's the Messiah. And the last part, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. This ruler of Israel is not going to be a mere man. This ruler is one who is of everlasting. He is from everlasting. In other words, he is from God himself. This is who the ruler is going to be. No matter how bad it gets. See, I believe, you may say, well, Gordon, this is just, you're just wrong to believe this. I believe that good always wins. Because if I don't believe that, I'm going to succumb to all the bad. I don't want to succumb to the bad. I don't want to give the devil place. So I'm going to believe that God, that good always triumphs over evil. Always. Always. Well, Gordon, that just doesn't work out all the time. Well, it may not work out this particular time, but good will always triumph over evil. Always. Always. Christ always leads me in triumph. Always. Always. Well, why are you so adamant on that? Because what's the alternative? See, prophecy comes to give you hope so your faith can grab hold of the hope and your faith can activate the hope and frame your world with the goodness of God. This is what prophecy is all about. This is what the Word of God is all about, is the entrance of God into your life and into your circumstances. Amen. That's good. Now go to Micah 5:3. He says, he shall give them up until the time. That doesn't sound real good. Now he's just prophesied about Babylon coming in. And he says, and he shall give, and then he prophesies about the Christ in Bethlehem. He says, he shall give them up until the time. Listen, there is going to be an interval of time from now until then. Every prophecy doesn't come to pass instantaneously. Some prophecy takes time. It takes some organization. I'd love to preach you on the Lord of hosts. Maybe we'll get to do that one of these times. But God has a plan. It's all laid out. That's what Lord of hosts implies, is that God has a plan. That'd be a good sermon to preach. But waiting tries our faith. Waiting tries our endurance. Waiting tries our patience. If you're anything like me at all, I don't like to wait. Fast food still isn't fast enough. I want to order at the kiosk, and boy, you can just go right up and pick up your food after a while. But they've got it pre-made. Yeah, but they don't have it packaged in my brown paper bag yet. I still have to wait. I want my food, and I want it now. Amen. It's like, but see, faith, it's like, you're going to get it. And sometimes the driver in front of you, they got a really super large order. I mean, they ordered for the three households on their block, and they're picking up all the food, and they're going to deliver it off to everybody. I'm thinking, my God, would you just move it? Would you get out of my way? My food is in there getting cold while you're getting your food. Just move it. Park, pull over to the side and have them bring it out to you or something like that. See, waiting tests your patience. My food is there. It'll be there when I get to the window, and they'll give it to me at the window. And I will eat, and I will be happy. Amen? Because I get, but I've got to wait for it. I'm going to get what I ordered, but I've got to wait for it sometimes. And sometimes when you believe a prophecy, you've got to wait. And this is what Micah is saying. He shall give them up until that time that she who is in labor has given birth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel. When the child, now think about this, when the child is born, the remnant of Israel, of his brethren, shall return to the children of Israel. There's others out there that are waiting for the child to be born. Sometimes prophecy has got to come to pass before you find out who else was believing in it, because you feel like you're all alone. You feel like nobody believes this stuff but me. But once it comes to pass, oh, you're going to find out a lot of people. Yeah, I was believing flat. I was saying, and they're not lying. You just didn't know about it. You know, not everybody's going to go out there, I believe this. They're not. We're not walking down the street claiming it, but we believe it. We're steadfast. You don't have to shout it out to believe it. You just have to believe it. You have to live as though you believe it. Amen? But once it comes to pass, other people will come out that you didn't know about. See, the remnant of the brethren are the ones who by faith believe in the one to be ruler, who believe in a prophecy of what God has spoken in his word. Micah chapter 5, verse 4, and he shall stand, meaning the Messiah, he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth. In verse 5, this one shall be peace. The one who is coming will bring peace. He will feed his flock. Hallelujah. See, when a prophecy is fulfilled, when it comes to pass, you're comforted. It's like, you know, this is the way it was supposed to be. You're settled, you're established in it, and it just helps you believe the word even more. Now let me give you some more verses. Galatians chapter 5, 22 to 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. And one of the interpretations is faithfulness is full of faith. Okay? Full of faith. Gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. See, if we're walking in the Spirit, you're going to have patience. When I'm at the Golden Arches waiting for my food and I get impatient, I'm not walking in the Spirit. My flesh is dominating me. Why? Because I don't have patience. Or if my faith seems to be short, I'm not walking in the Spirit. Because see, in the Spirit, as a born-again person, I have patience. I have faith in God. And if there's an interval, I'm just walking in the Spirit. I'm just believing God. I'm trusting Him. He's going to bring it to pass. I don't understand how or why. I mean, if there's something I can do that in West Virginia, I voted, I've prayed, I'm continuing to pray. That's about all I can do over some things. Amen? I can't. If I was in some other states, I'd be starting some recall petitions. I'd be getting some things done. But our state didn't go that direction. So praise be to God for that. But I'm just telling you that part of the fruit of your Spirit is patience and faithfulness. Hebrews 6, verses 11 and 12. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence till the full assurance of hope until the end. Until the end. Now, when's the end? When it happens, when it comes to pass. Micah prophesied 100 years before Babylon fell, probably about, 700 years before Christ. And he's prophesying about the Messiah. And here Hebrews, I think Hebrews knew, Paul knew about what Micah had said. He said, you've got to show the same diligence till the full assurance of hope until the end. Until you see the prophecy come to pass in your life, until you see it manifest, you're going to have to walk in patience and faith and goodness and love and all those other fruits of the Spirit. You've got to continue to walk in those. Verse 12, that you do not become sluggish. Isn't that a temptation? Get sluggish. When hope is delayed, it hurts the heart. And when hope is delayed, we get sluggish in our faith. But he says, imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Man, that tells you, if I continue to activate my faith and my patience, I'll get the inheritance. It'll come to me. It'll happen. I've just got to not give up. Because if I give up, if I throw away the prophecy, if I throw away what God has spoken, I'm giving presence to the devil to allow him to frame my world. I don't want to live in his world. I want to live in the kingdom of God. I want the word of God to shape my future. Now, we're almost at the end. Israel's king and the intellectuals had dismissed this prophecy of a child to be born. When the wise men came, they had to say, what are they talking about? Now, it's interesting that Daniel taught these magi about Christ the Messiah, and they were looking in a foreign country. See, God will bring the other brethren to you when the time is right. So he brought those over. And the king of Israel, the intellectuals, the priests, what are they talking about? We could say the institutional church. What are they talking about? They don't have a clue. But others. See, now, you got to understand this. The people were looking forward to this. The populace was looking forward to the virgin birth. The populace was looking forward to the kingdom of God breaking out in the earth. And so when they came to temple on the eighth day, Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel. God told him, you will not die till you see the consolation of Israel. So Simeon's an old man, and he is sitting at the gate, the entrance of the temple, waiting his faith and patience. He's waiting for the consolation of Israel. He still believed. The king is up there. The king who ought to know this stuff. Huh? But here's Simeon in the temple, just worshiping God, dedicated himself to God. See, he had heard the trumpet. He had heard the prophecy. I'm waiting. I'm waiting. Because God told me. God told me. I'm not giving up. God told me. And then you have Anna, still in the temple. The scripture says, she spoke to him, spoke of him, of the Christ, to all those who looked for the redemption in Israel. When she saw them walk in with a baby, she prophesied over them. She was waiting, and she was busy telling everybody, this is the one, this is the one, this is the one who's the Redeemer, this is the Messiah. I'm telling you, this is, she had waited. See, she believed the prophecies. She put her faith, her trust in those prophecies, and she told everyone that she could find who was looking for the redemption of Israel. She didn't tell everybody, but those who believe, she says, it's our time. We got this. We got this. It's our time now. The Messiah has come, and he is among us now. It's fulfilled. Jesus, remember, came for the unrighteous. He came for us sinners who dare to hope in Yahweh for our consolation. Who dare to hope. Is it an uphill battle? You bet. Is God true? You bet. He is to every word that he's spoken. He is true. He is faithful. The Bible says God watches over his word to perform it. He watches over what he's prophesied. He's working to bring it to pass. And we cannot now back down from what God has prophesied. You cannot now give up on what God has said. You've got to dig down. I refuse to yield to the devil. I refuse to quit. I refuse to give up. I refuse to let the devil frame my world ever again. I'm going to believe the word of God. I'm going to believe the trumpet call. I was thinking about this, and you know, it says when we hear the last trump, we'll all be caught up in glory. I mean, you've got to have ears to hear. But there's a prophecy. We win. We triumph. Good is greater than evil because God is good. And every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we come before you. Father, if we're not believers, let us now become believers in your word. Father, we trust in you. We declare that Jesus is Lord over our lives. We declare, God, your word is active in our life. And God, we respond to you by giving our life to you, God. For those that are on YouTube that are listening, Father, I just pray that they would invite Jesus into their heart right now, that they would be born again. Father God, they would receive the living Christ, the living Word of God into their life, that they would let God frame their world instead of what has been going on. I come against drugs. I come against the things, the incest, the different things that have been holding them back. Father, I break that hold over them now in the name of Jesus, that they would receive the living God and the spirit of liberty into their lives. Father, we thank you for being with us. We thank you, God, for blessing us. We thank you, God, for letting your word grow large within us every day. God, we thank you for your prophecies, your trumpet, that we choose to believe and frame our world in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. God bless you.